Well, welcome to part three of The Grave Robber. And I know a lot of you have been following along in your groups. You've got your guidebooks, and you should be going to a small group for this. And there's also a personal Bible study each week to do in your guidebook, so I hope you're doing it. You'll want to turn to John chapter 5, and we're going to read that in a moment. But so far in this series, we've looked at two miracles, or what John calls two signs. And the first one was the very first miracle that's recorded that Jesus ever performed is he turned water into wine. And that was a sign to remind us and to show us and tell us and to reveal to us that the promised Messiah had arrived. And then last week, we looked at how Jesus was able to cure a boy who was 20 miles away. And it revealed to us, this sign revealed to us that Jesus is not bound by time or space and that he is the God of everywhere at the same time. And today we look at the third sign. It's a miracle where Jesus heals a lame man. And this account, this story, this reality is found for us in John chapter 5. And so we're going to look at that and read it this morning, beginning at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." So we're told that Jesus enters to Jerusalem for a feast. We're not told what feast. It really doesn't matter to the story. There are three main pilgrimage feasts for the Jewish people of Jesus' time: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. And all the Jews who live near Jerusalem were supposed to go and show up for those. And it doesn't matter. But Jesus has gone to Jerusalem to attend a feast. And it seems like he's alone. Nowhere in this account are we told that his disciples were with him. And so Jesus visits the Pool of Bethesda. Now, what is the Pool of Bethesda? I'm so glad you asked me what the Pool of Bethesda is. If you want to put that picture up for me. This is a recreation of what the Pool of Bethesda would have looked like. If you go to your small group this week, and please go, you're going to see that this week he is going to film from the ruins of this pool. They have excavated and found this pool. And so it's really two pools. It's called one pool, but it's considered two pools. Remember we read it had five covered colonnades or five porticos, five porches. And that's what you see in the red with those roofs. There's on each side and down the middle, five covered porticos. And I kind of drew an arrow in the top left corner, the Sheep Gate. It's called the Sheep Gate because it's the closest one to the temple. And we believe just outside those walls, the shepherds would raise the sheep for the tabernacle sacrifices. And they'd come into Jerusalem through that gate, the Sheep Gate. And as Jesus came in that Sheep Gate, the Bible tells us he came to this pool area where he found a lame man. But so this pool is about 20 feet wide, square, and about 20 feet deep. I'm not sure about how wide it is. Misspoke again. But about 20 feet deep with that gap between them. And like I said, people would bring the lame, the blind, bring them here because what used to happen to their understanding is the waters would stir. Now, history has taught us that they're fed they were fed by underground springs. But when the waters were stirred, it seems that the first people into the water would be healed. Now, that's what it seems. That's what the man in this story says. We're going to look at that in a moment. If you have a King James or a New King James, there's an extra verse in there. If you were following me in your Bibles, King James, New King James, you go, Pastor, you skipped the verse. Well, later history and research in scriptures and the scrolls that they have found dating older than what they wrote the King James from don't have that verse. But that verse gives us an explanation. And the people believed that God or the angels would stir up the water and the first one in would be healed. Now, some theologians today will say that's not true. That was just superstitious. Yet, I find it hard to believe that for years and years, and this lame man has been lame for 38 years, that for days and weeks and months and years, he was laying there waiting to get into the pool. So I think a couple of things may happen. That yes, there may have been underground springs that stirred the water, but when the water was stirred, people's faith was stirred, and God was stirred, and yes, it didn't matter how God stirred the waters. I believe it's quite very likely and possible that the first ones in would have been healed. Or else, why would people be clinging around those porches all those years? They must have seen people in. Even this lame man, he says, others get in before him. I could get there and I don't get my healing. So that's the history to the Pool of Bethesda. And Jesus enters by the sheep gate, led by the Spirit of God. He goes to this pool area, and he sees this lame man lying there. And he talks to him, and he meets him. The Bible tells us he'd been crippled for 38 years. For 38 years, many of them, I'm sure, he lay there. Maybe people, his family, his friends, they brought him there in the morning and said, lay here. Maybe today will be the day you get in the water. Maybe today will be your day. Maybe today the waters will stir for you. Maybe today is your day of healing and miracle. And so every day he'd go and he'd lay on his mat waiting for the waters to be stirred, hoping to be the first one in. 38 years this man is lame. 38 years he's waiting for a miracle. 38 years he's waiting for hope. And he lay there, it probably seemed to him that nobody cared. It had been a long time, 38 long years. But that day, God wanted to show him that he cared. That Jesus cared, and Jesus came to him. You see, Jesus knows all about you. Maybe it's most likely this man never considered Jesus. If you read the rest of the account that we don't have time for this morning, maybe at home this week you want to go, you'll see that the Jewish leaders asked this layman, who healed you? And he said, I have no clue. I don't know. Some man walked up to me. He doesn't know who Jesus is. Maybe you're here today, you don't know who Jesus is. But I want you to know Jesus knows who you are. And Jesus cares about you. That Jesus is considering you today. Jesus is thinking about you today. Then Jesus looks at this lame man lying on this mat. He says to him the weirdest thing. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? He looks at the man who's lying there lame. He's waiting for the waters to stir so he can roll in. And Jesus has the audacity to say to him, do you want to get well? Now think about it. That's a weird question. What kind of question is that? Does a crippled man want to get well? Does a lame man want to walk? It's a ridiculous question. It's the same kind of question I used to get Actually, I never got it. My siblings did. My dad would say to them, "Do you want to get a spanking?" Like, yeah, line me up. Right? What kind of question is that? Jesus looks at a lame man at the pool and says, "Do you want to get well?" But let's think about it for a moment. Because maybe the question is not as shallow as it first appears. See, this lame man had only known his existence the way it is for the last 38 years. He's been crippled. Being an invalid is all this man has ever known. It's the only life he's accustomed to. He was used to having others care for him. He was used to having others help him. He was used to having others cater to him. He was used to having others provide for him. He relied on the kindness and the love of other people to make his way in life. If he's going to get well, then he'd have to start earning his own living. He'd have to start living his own life. He'd have to start being responsible for himself. Maybe he's never had to be responsible for himself. We're not told how old he is, just that he's lame for 38 years. He could have got lame. He could have been born lame. We don't know. But you see, if he got well, then he takes full responsibility for his life. You see, a healing would radically change his life. So maybe the question, "Do you want to get well?" isn't such a crazy question after all. Maybe it's a question that pierced to the center of his being and of his soul and of his heart. Maybe that question laid open the motives that lay inside of him. But this is what's even more interesting. Jesus says to him, "Do you want to get well?" And did you notice? The man never said yes. In fact, the man never answers the question. He begins to make excuses. He says, "Well, you see, I have nobody to help me. The water's stirring. I just can't get in there. And I try to get in the water, but somebody always beats me to it." The lame man is making he doesn't answer the question. "I don't know, but knowing who I am, do you want to get well?" My answer is yes. But the lame man makes excuses. "I have no one to help me. I'm all alone. Everybody else is faster. Everybody else beats me. It's 38 years and I've never won the race." The lame man makes excuses. Haven't we done that? Haven't we all made excuses? Haven't we all read something in the Bible and thought, this is too hard? Haven't we read God's word and said, "God, you know, that's a nice thing, but you're asking too much of me. You know, God, I'm just busy. I've got a career to get going. I have a family to raise. You want me to give what in the offering? No, God, I got bills to pay. I got a trip to take." We've all made excuses. We hear a sermon and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and we're in church and we make a commitment to God, but by the time we get home, we forget about it. Life gets busy. Your mother calls, your father calls, your best friend calls. Life calls. We forget. We make excuses. We're out and about in the week and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and we recognize his voice and we say, "Yes," but then life gets busy and we forget and we make excuses. See, the lame man's not alone. He's just like you and me. We all could get places and get comfortable where we come to a place where we think an excuse is the answer, but excuses are not the answer. Obedience is the answer that God is looking for in our lives. See, Jesus doesn't need to wait for a little stirring. That's what this man doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that this man standing in front of him, this one who he'll later find out is Jesus, but at the moment doesn't know, this Jesus, this man standing before him, doesn't need to wait for the waters to stir. Because if he'd only known just a short time earlier, he turned that water into wine. If he'd only known that at the beginning of time, it was his voice that created that water. If he'd only known that it was his being that allowed the stirring of the water to bring miracles to the people who managed to get themselves in. If only he would know that it's not just a man standing in front of him, but it's the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. Jesus doesn't need to wait for a little stirring. He doesn't have to wait for the man to give him a straight answer. Jesus says to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. It's a command, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. See, that this lame man didn't just have a little healing take place. His life is radically transformed and changed. He'd been lame for 38 years. He laid in the dirt for 38 years. He laid on the same mat for 38 years. He had been carried to and fro for 38 years. He always needed someone to help him for 38 years. He was always at the mercy of somebody else for 38 years. But now, in this moment, in this instant, he didn't need the stirring of the water because the Savior of the world, the God of creation, catches him and says to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus changed his life radically, and Jesus has come to radically change your life. You don't need a stirring of the water. You need the word of a living God. Do you really want Jesus? Do you really want Jesus? Are you prepared for the changes that God wants to make in your life? See, God wants to change you drastically. Jesus wants to give you a new hope, a new purpose, and a new drive in your life. Jesus wants you to be able to give your life to him fully in complete surrender. Jesus is calling you to follow him just like the disciples followed him. No difference. No backing down. Nothing less. Nothing watered down. Everything full force. Everything full on. Everything. Do you really want Jesus? See, because Jesus wants to radically transform your life. Pastor, you don't understand, I'm not lame. Oh, you might not be lame on your feet, but you might be lame in your heart. Pastor, you don't understand, I'm not lame. No, but your spirit might be lame. And Jesus wants to speak life back to your spirit and hope back to your heart. He wants to radically change you and transform you. Do you really want Jesus? You see, because to follow Jesus fully is fully. It means you don't get to call the shots anymore. It means you're not in control anymore. It means you're not the boss anymore. It means God's going to bring you to a new standard of living, a new standard of expectation, a new standard of obedience. A new standard of life in Christ. You've heard it already this morning that God has so much more for you than what you already know. That God doesn't see you for your past, but he sees you for your future. That God doesn't hold your past against you. He holds Jesus' blood over you. Jesus wants to radically transform your life this morning. Dear Christian, do you really want Jesus? Do you really want to be healed? Have you become complacent in your Christian life? Are you holding on to bitterness? Have you got unresolved conflict? Are there things that you've hidden in your heart that you're not even aware of anymore? You've buried them so down deep that you can't even find them anymore? Do you want to be free of these things? Do you want these issues resolved once and for all? Then you need to hear the words of the Savior who says to you, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Because Jesus wants to radically transform your life. One last thing in this story. It's such a subscript that we almost miss it. But we're told this healing took place on the Sabbath. This man lay at the pool every day. Jesus could have come Friday. He could have showed up Sunday. But he showed up on Saturday. Man's always there. Probably always in the same place. He probably knew all the buddies around him. But the Spirit of God led Jesus to Jerusalem through the sheep gate into the pool to this man on the Sabbath. And he says to him very succinctly, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. See, God had given the Jewish people 10 commandments, but the Jewish rabbis and leaders had added about 10,000 rules to the 10 commandments. I believe it started out in good ways, helping people understand how to interpret the 10 commandments, but by Jesus' day, it got out of hand. And so they're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the Lord's day. Keep it holy. So the teachers and the rabbis taught them, you don't do any work on the Sabbath. You know, there's even rules that got to rules where you can't even cook on the Sabbath because the cooking is work. So you had to cook earlier and, you know, just eat it the next day or something like that. And I'm not a scholar on rabbinical law. But one of their rules was you cannot carry a burden on the Sabbath. And then it got to defining what is a burden, how big is a burden, how much does a burden weigh. So if a burden is 5 pounds, but if you carried 4 pounds, were you okay? Those kind of, I mean, it got in 10,000 rules. Now you get it. And one of the things defined as a burden, you cannot carry a burden, meaning something heavy, you can't carry something, because that would be work. And it's got to the point where a mat was considered a burden. So it's the Sabbath. And Jesus says to the lame man, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And he picks up his mat, and he walks home. Think about it for a moment. First of all, I think there's a little bit of hooping and hollering going on. Because through all of that rejoicing, it seems that Jesus just slipped away. That's why the man didn't know who healed him. I think his buddies all around him are high-fiving him. And they're going, hey, wait, what about me? And Jesus was gone. Hundreds of lame, sick, blind, deaf, at that poolside, only one man got healed. Get up, pick up your mat, your burden, and walk. See, Jesus used this opportunity to challenge the thinking and limitation of man's ideas. See, because the religious leaders, do you know what their question to the man was? Why are you carrying your mat? Huh? You're not impressed I'm walking? Why are you carrying your mat? Because the man told me to. What man? I don't know. I was just lying there waiting for the water and a man comes and he says, get up, Pick up your mat and walk. And the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, they were more concerned that this man was carrying a mat than the fact that God of creation had healed him instantly. God, Jesus was challenging the limitations that man has put on him. See, the Messiah stood in their midst and they did not recognize him. You see this all through the Gospels. It's not new here. But here Jesus stands before the leaders of his day, the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, the ones who knew the law, the ones who knew the prophets, the ones who knew what had been said about the coming promised Messiah. They understood all of it. And here stood Jesus in front of them and they could not see him. Isaiah the prophet speaks about a coming Messiah, and he uses these words. Then will the eyes of the blind be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. They missed it. They missed it. But don't be too hard on them. Because sometimes Jesus has been in your midst, and you did not recognize him. Sometimes the Spirit has been moving all around you, but you did not realize it. Sometimes God has done wonderful things in the lives of your friends or your family members maybe, or the people around you. And you can't accept it because, but that's not how I think God should move. That's not how I think God should do it. I have trouble with what God's doing because that's not what I think. But you have to understand, Jesus came to challenge man's thinking. And it's time that we understood that we don't understand. It's time we understand that we don't understand. It's time that we understand that the little box that we've put God in isn't big enough. It's time we understand that God is not limited to our ways and our thinking and our understanding. It's time that we understand that God is bigger than anything we could imagine. That God's ways are more miraculous than anything we could hope for. That God doesn't work on our timetable. That we need to start working on his timetable. We need to understand that God doesn't need to do it our way, but we better get in tune with doing it God's way. It's time that we understand that Jesus came to challenge the thinking and the limitations of man. And it's time that we smash the box. Because the box is limiting us from receiving everything that God has for us. The box is limiting us so that we banter and discuss and maybe argue over insignificant realities. It's time we understand that God is calling us to have our lives totally, radically changed and transformed. And we're too busy trying to figure out what's the right word for the Apostles' Creed? Who cares? Jesus comes to give us a sign. The sign shows us that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord over man's rules and regulations. Jesus is Lord over man's ideas and principles. The Jewish leaders had complained that this healing had caused the man to carry his mat. They were more concerned that their man-made rules were broken rather than the reality that the Messiah had shown up in their midst and with the power to break sickness and sin. We need to remind ourselves that we are to worship the Lord of the Sabbath, not limit the Lord of the Sabbath. We're called to follow the Lord of the Sabbath, not limit the Lord of the Sabbath. We are called to bow our hearts and our wills in front of the Lord of the Sabbath and not tell the Lord of the Sabbath what our rules are. It's time we understand he is the Lord of the Sabbath and he comes to challenge our thinking and our mentality and our smallness. And he offers us God's bigness. Our rules, our assumptions, our expectations should melt away in the presence of the Lord of the Sabbath. Not only that, there's another thing this sign does. This sign shows us that Jesus is able. Jesus is able to do things outside of the ordinary. Jesus is able to do things in a different way. Jesus is able to look right into your heart. Jesus is able to break past your superstitions. Jesus is able to break off those things that hold you back. Jesus is able to be more than enough for you. Jesus is able to speak into your situation. Jesus is able to bring healing where you thought it wasn't possible. Jesus is able to turn your impossibilities into possibilities. How many of you today would be honest to God? It's time to lay down the excuses. How many of you today need Jesus to walk up to you and speak to your need? How many of you need Jesus to walk up to you in a way, say, get up, pick up your mat, and walk? Maybe you're here today and you need a physical healing. Maybe you need a miracle of any kind. Maybe you need a relationship restored. Maybe you need a job situation to turn around. Maybe you need more faith to carry yourself on. Maybe you need God to intervene in a certain situation. Maybe you need a financial breakthrough. Maybe you need clarity for a decision. Maybe you need salvation for a loved one. Maybe you need to meet the Jesus of the Bible. How many of you need Jesus to walk up to you and speak to your need? That's you, would you just lift your hands to heaven this morning? Just lift that burden to him right now. What is it you need? Tell him right now. Stop making excuses. The man never answered Jesus. You have a chance to tell him. If you've got your hands up, I'm going to invite you to come down to the front this morning. I'm asking you to take a walk of faith this morning. I want you to picture this morning that you are coming. You are coming to the place where God's presence is, and you're bringing that need to him. And you're saying, Jesus, here is my need. I'm bringing it to you. Here is my need. I'm giving it to you. That's what you're doing. You're about to give your problem. You're about to give your need. You're about to give that miracle you're looking for, that healing you're believing for. That step of faith that you need to take. And as you bring it to the front, you're saying, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm laying this at your feet. I'm giving you my problem. It's time that we as Christians, myself included, stopped making excuses. It's time that we walked into the fullness of who he is. It's time that we walk into the identity of who we are. We are sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. We are sons and daughters of the King. All that heaven has is at our disposal. All that heaven has available is ours to take hold of. But we need to walk in holiness. We need to walk as Jesus walked. We need to walk in obedience to God's word. We need to do what God says. We need to live the way God tells us. And it's time to stop making excuses. You've come this morning in faith. You've been obedient to his spirit. You've obeyed his word. I've asked you to bring your need, your burden, your care, your questions, your concerns, your loved ones, and lay them figuratively. Imagination, I mean, it's not physical, but I want you to lay them at Jesus' feet. Here's the hard part. I want you to leave them there when you leave. You know what we have a tendency to do is, oh, wait, I forgot something. We go back and we pick it up. It's our fallen, sinful human nature. Or some of you might come back next week and pick it up. Okay, God, I gave you a week. You need to lay it at his feet. Pastor, that's so easy to say. I know. But somebody has to say it. It's my job. We have to remind, you're going to have to remind yourself every day. Some of you are going to have to remind yourself every hour for the beginning. I'm leaving that at Jesus' feet. I'm leaving it at Jesus' feet. Remind yourself. Remind yourself, I left it. I've left it. God, you have to take care of it. Father, we pray right now. Lord, I ask that you would give us your Spirit. Lord, you give us the ability. Lord, we so desperately just want to lay these things at your feet and walk away and leave them to you, because you are the Lord of the Sabbath. You are the God who is able. And so we lay them at your feet today. Lord, we ask that you would keep us from picking that burden up again. Lord, when we would reach down, that Holy Spirit, you would slap our hands in whatever way you need to. Holy Spirit, that you would speak hope and faith into our hearts. That Holy Spirit, you would cause us to hear your voice and obey your leading. Father, there are many needs represented here in this altar this morning. And we lay our issues at the feet of Jesus, because he is more than enough. Because Jesus, you make our impossibles possible. So Lord, today we thank you for your word. And more than that, we thank you, Jesus, for your living power. You call us to walk into who you are. That our identity is with you and in you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. We give you all the praise. Lord, we can't wait to hear the stories of what you're going to unfold. Lord, we can't wait to hear the stories and share them of what you're going to do in our lives. Lord, we can't wait. We can't wait to stand in this stage one day and profess to our brothers and sisters the goodness and the power of God revealed and released. And we'll give you the glory, give you the honor, and give you the praise, because it's yours and yours alone. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.